Okay. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this to our benefit. And Lord, we're looking forward to the things that you've promised in heaven. And we're praying, Lord, that you'll increase our faith, hope, and love as we wait for your coming. Amen. Now, the bride is called, chosen, and faithful. Well, you've already seen that. You've already heard that. I've preached that ever since I came here. But I hadn't preached this second part when I came here. I learned this, I guess I'd been here about 20 years when I learned it. The saved are espoused to be converted. That's why you were saved. The saved are espoused to be converted. Now, I want to impress this on you. Would you have expected God to write to those people in the Old Testament and compare it to marriages and engagements today? Well, now think about it. Let's just pretend you're God. Maybe he won't mind for just a second or two. And if you were going to write something to somebody, would you write it to the people in the Old Testament according to their customs? Or would you write it according to our customs of marriage? The answer is obvious, but sometimes obvious answers don't become obvious to people. That's why I'm going to teach Bible manners and customs next time we have the next semester. I'm going to teach Bible manners and customs, and I've got a stack of books that high. And I'm going to look in there for all the things that if you know these Bible manners and customs, they'll really help you to understand the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, what happened was, and I'm going to cover this extensively when I get into next semester, the bride's father and mother would make a deal for her because they believed that the father ought to choose for the bride. This may ruin your romantic concepts, but I don't think that was a bad thing. Because I remember how I was at 18. But I'm not going to dwell on that one way or the other. But it is certain that he would give it in Old Testament terms, expecting us to go back and see what they were. That's part of study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, right? A dividing word of truth. And that's why I wanted to have this school. Because this is something that involves a lot of symbolism. And if you don't know the Old Testament manners and customs and how they worked, it's very difficult to figure out. Now, whenever this was completed, she was espoused, but she was not his wife. She was espoused to him. Now, if you wanted to use the word engagement, that's fine. But understand this, when I tell you about espoused, it means that you're expected to be faithful to him. It's not like going steady. Now, when I went steady with somebody, I was faithful to them. And if I broke up, I would tell them. I didn't sneak around and date other girls. Now, this espoused means... it's hard for me to say this. It means you're As I go through, you'll understand. The saved are espoused to be converted. God didn't just save you so you could go to heaven. He did that. But He wanted you to grow to love Him and be faithful to Him. And there is a period of testing that's called conversion. And believe it or not, when you got saved, you got espoused. And now it's up to you. Do you want to prepare yourself to be His bride? Do you want to be converted? Do you want to let Him do it? Do you want to respond to Him? Do you want Him to be more important to you than mammon? Do you want to seek first the kingdom of God and all these things? Sufficient as to the day is the evil thereof. Do you want to do that? Now, it's not a commitment that a pastor can browbeat you into. Because I guess I probably have driven some people away by trying to browbeat them into being this, browbeat them into doing that. I didn't know any better. God never punished me for it. But after all these trips I made and all these things I heard about the bride and all these different opinions, this is my conclusion. And if you want to know what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to do this right here. Now, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11 and 2, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." What is the highest kind of jealousy? Godly jealousy. Now, God is not jealous like we understand jealousy. Godly jealousy means you belong to me. I want you to be faithful to me. I want you to grow in faith. I want you to grow in hope. I want you to grow in love. He said, I want you to know me. Not in a sexual relationship, but in a relationship of understanding Him and who He is. He's in love with you. He's in love with you. He first loved you. He espoused you to Him. And you were espoused to one husband. Not two, not three. But you were espoused to one husband. And Paul said that He had espoused you. He preached the gospel. It was God's gospel. It was God's truth. It was God's Spirit that did the espousing. But He did it. To one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Well, I hope the fact I never had any relations with any other woman but my wife would consider it to be chaste. But if I had to never think about another woman or never lust over another woman, Lord in mercy, I've been an unfaithful man. But I don't believe it means that I was made a man. And I am naturally attracted to women. I'm not attracted to men. And when I say attracted, when I'm around you, I'm not planning on raping you. I just think you're pretty. And I look at you, I think every one of the ladies in this church are pretty. Now he says, and I say, I was espoused to run in Jesus' yoke. That's what I was espoused for. I'm supposed to run a race. What's the race about? Internal struggle with the devil. It's an internal struggle with the devil. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, I lose that all the time. Just keep getting up and don't go back to the ways of the world. And when you go back to the ways of the world and when you do something that you know you shouldn't have done and it shows that you love the world more than God, ask Him to forgive you. You say, how long will He keep forgiving? Well, what was that? 70 times 70?
70 times 70.
That's 490 times. Ken's first question was, can I zap them on the 491st? Well, the thing is, it's a way of life.
Amen.
Now look at you all sitting here. You're still coming to church. June Bug's been faithful ever since I've been here. I went out and met her and her wild daughters. And you're here. Cooney's here. Jay's here. Your son's here. So why are there so few of us? Well, I can't say that all these other people aren't running in the yoke, but at least I can look at you and honestly believe that you're making an effort, even if you went up to some concert. But I believe you're making an effort. Mike's making an effort. I'm making an effort, and I'm your pastor. Why? Because we believe the Word of God. And sometimes you really have to think about things in it because you're seeking the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, receiving eternal union with Jesus is the espousal that sets a believer free from condemnation to allow her to make herself ready. She cannot make herself ready until she is saved. And what does it mean to make herself ready? She has to take, or he has to take, the yoke. This doesn't have any sexual connotation in it, because he used an example of a woman, I'm using her. But himself is just as appropriate, because we're not going to be running around with sex on our mind in heaven, or putting up with disobedient husbands or disobedient wives. We're going to be up there with somebody that loved us. I hope we get stationed together, and I hope we enjoy it up there. Well, I know we'll enjoy it. Now, if I had not been set free from condemnation when I was espoused, how could I ever make myself ready for life in the city with him? By conversion and submission to him. What's the difference outside the city and in the city? The ones in the city submitted their wills to his. That's the yoke. They finally figured out he's all powerful. He's Almighty God. He's the King of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Holy Spirit. And we said, oh my, 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 my. And we start to fall in love with him. We start to look forward to the time that we'll be with him. And when you get gray hair like myself and Jay, some of the ladies, these old bodies kind of wear out. And when they wear out, we're real anxious to get the new one. You say, well, why are we anxious? Because we believe it. We believe it. But when you start interpreting prophecy and figures and symbols are used, you have to be honest with people and show them why you believe it and what it means. Because if you just look for a statement in the Bible that tells you precisely what you're supposed to do, and it won't work. You have to study for this. Because prophecy is one thing to interpret literally. I interpret all prophet literally. Unless I cannot do it, and I have to bring in other scriptures to prove it. Now, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That settles it for me. When I used to go places and do things with these preachers, I'd say, let's not get started on that. I said, we'll be arguing about that all week long. And I said, and I'd usually throw up Martha and what's her name? Mary. And I'd say, now, Mary was interested in what he had to say. But Martha was distracted. And so the job of a pastor is, don't get distracted. And don't you get distracted. And I would tell these preachers, I said, we'll be so distracted here arguing about this all week long that I said, we can't learn anything from each other. And I said, we're not going to agree on this, and I can tell you from the start, because I've been doing this for all these years. So, conversion is something where you learn to let well enough alone and learn to go on. Okay, here comes espousal. Matthew 11, 28, 29. You say, well, good Lord, Brother Michael Murray, I've heard that from you so many times. Yeah, but there's so much to it that it's just hard to get it all in there. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is it they're burdened down with? Guilt. Guilt for sin. And deep down inside, even if they say they're an atheist, they're scared to death they might be wrong. So what happens? That's when they get espoused. Now here's when they begin to run the race in Jesus' yoke. And you have to take it. Now he'll certainly guide you by his Spirit. And he will certainly tell you, this is what you need to do. And learn of me. That's what you're doing right now. I don't know how you're going to receive this. My responsibility is to have studied and to tell you what it means. And the first step is learning of me. Okay, what's the first thing that we're supposed to learn after we're espoused? Well, Jesus walked over 50 miles to be baptized, and he didn't even need it. The first thing we're supposed to learn is, I need to be baptized and join a church that teaches the truth. You may not look out the first time. You may be in the wrong area at the wrong time. But it's never too late to change. Never. As long as he's in you and he stays in you, espousal is eternal. But the espoused who never run the race live outside the city. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Don't even think for 1 minute that you were born meek and lowly in heart. The first thing you thought about was yourself. I'm hungry. And the next thing you thought about is, when's Mama coming in here? Ah! That's the next thing you thought about. And you didn't give a rat about your baby sister or your baby brother or anybody else. You just cared about yourself and your own toys.
He's got my toys.
And that's what you were, and that's what I was. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's a saved soul. And you know what you're supposed to learn? You're supposed to learn about the difference between inheritance and reward. And the truth of the matter is that the Bible says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. That's where you got saved. That's ek psyche. It's the saved soul. That's your heart. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it from a saved soul. With the right motivation. What is the right motivation? He says, and whatsoever you do it heartily, as unto the Lord. Do what you do for the Lord. Don't do it for attention. Don't do it for recognition. Don't do it for praise from men. Just make up your mind that you're going to do this for the Lord. And the rest of the folks are going to have to take care of their own motivations because that's not your job. It's not my job to judge your motivations. But I know that he says that. He says that, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not of the men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. You say, well, isn't that being kind of selfish? Well, go ahead and share it with others. Go ahead and share it with others, this blessing that you have, of knowing that you're in a church that teaches and preaches the truth. But how are you going to know it if you don't get converted after you're saved? Now, I'm just telling you the way it is, because I don't think I'm going to live a lot longer. And I don't want to leave here and not have told you exactly what I believe about the bride. A believer is invited to eternal life, espousal, to run a race in his yoke in the hope of being chosen to live in Jesus' holy city in both millennial and heaven ages. I'll bet you think that I think I'm going to be in that city. You're wrong. I don't know if I'm going to be in that city. Only God does. God judges, not my own personal judgment of my own self, but God judges whether I live in that city. So how am I going to live in that city? Well, we'll see when we get out of the bride. The bride and the guest in the city will be invited to live there. But the espoused who had no interest in the yoke race will be outside the city. I don't think a one of you will be outside the city. That's my opinion. It's not what I know. But as for me, I'm hoping to be in the city. But if you said, are you sure? God is the judge of whether you're in the city, not me and not you. So run the race. You're running the race tonight. You ran it to come here. Now, there are other people who aren't here that they're not, because they're not here doesn't mean that they're not running the race. I don't mean to even imply that or think it. But I'm telling you that I admire you all very much, because you've put your neck in the yoke. And once it's in the yoke, you've kept an interest in it. Keep an interest in it until you leave that body, whether it be at the rapture, and whether it be through difficulties, tribulation, trial. Now notice what he says. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. This is the consummation. When does it occur? At the end of this Gentile age. When does it occur? Well, it occurs in the millennial reign. That's when the marriage occurs. You say, well, won't there be people saved in the millennium? Yeah. You say, how are they going to be judged? God's going to judge them at the great white throne judgment. And I've preached that here and I've made it definite. And his wife hath made herself ready. How in the world did she do that? She got espoused when she was saved. She may not even have known it. I didn't know it when I got saved. If somebody said to me, well, Brother McElmurray, you just got saved, I'd have understood what they said. But if they said, boy, you just got espoused, I'd say, Lord have mercy, what in the world is espoused? Did I marry a mouse? No, listen, this is something you have to learn. And you're not going to learn anything if you don't want to learn it. Because God's Holy Spirit's going to pull you sideways and every way and try to teach you. And if you've got a rebellious spirit, I hope you give up. I finally just gave up. And the Lord knows, I want him to make me ready. And how does he do it? By conversion. And am I converted? No, I am being converted. How converted am I going to get? Well, I don't know. But God will make the judgment whether or not I'm supposed to live in that city. But I know that I am espoused. I've been scripturally baptized. And I'm in a church that teaches what you're supposed to do. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Didn't the Lord tell us, ye cannot serve God and mammon? Didn't he tell us, ye cannot serve God and mammon? And yet we know we do. But he says, you cannot do that. Make up your mind. Which one are you going to follow? And then when you fall off the wagon, ask him to forgive you. How long will he forgive you? Till you die. It's that simple. It's that plain. Now, when he talks about the righteousness of the saints, you know what that chapter ends with? No man can, you cannot serve God and mammon. You know how it ends? Here's the secret of brideship. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You walk through evil every day in your life. You carry a carnal nature with you, and you walk through a world that has gone stark, raving mad out there, ungodly, and our leaders in Washington are at the head of the pack, and right now they're commencing a deal that's going to let all H-E-L-L break loose. People can be deceived. God's children are not supposed to be able to be deceived unless they don't know anything about the Bible. They can be deceived. Ephesians 5:26. So how do you do that? Well, God loved the church and gave himself for it, didn't he? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This is the word I'm preaching. This is what I'm preaching right now. You say, well, I suppose you think you're something. No, I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm not putting out false modesty. I'm an ungodly sinner saved by grace. I have to confess my sins to be forgiven of them. And when I'm convicted by the word, I have to confess them to stay in fellowship with God. Say, Brother Michael Murray, how many times have you done that? Lord, I'm not trying to be funny, but surely you're the only one that knows, because nobody else on this earth could ever guess the number. It would be worse than putting beans in a jar and trying to pick the number in the jar. Why does God do this? That he might present it to himself. Who is himself? The verse before it says, for God so loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Well, God's going to present the glorious church to himself. And he'll be the judge of it. Did I confess my sins? Did I try not to sin? Did I seek the righteousness of God? Did I look like an old wrinkled man? Beat up and discouraged and unhappy, waiting for Jesus, or any such thing, but that it should be holy, hagiso, set apart, and without blemish. And don't worry at the last minute if you're headed for a car and you know you're about to die. You don't have to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I've had people that believe that. Now, it is amazing what man's ignorance of what God is like causes him to believe the things that he does that are so utterly wrong. So, let's look at Exodus 23. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, I don't believe I have any other gods before me. Within the time I'm preaching this, I may say something or think something that is not spiritual. If I do, he'll let me know and I'll ask for forgiveness. You say, well, this sounds like something you have to do every day. You do have to do it every day. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity. And that word simplicity, look it up for yourself. and look it up in the Strong's or Bullinger's or Hoop Hollers or whatever, should be corrupted from the singleness, the oneness that is in Christ. Well, the devil has done a wonderful job of that. How come in the Bible you can go from cover to cover? In Hebrew, Greek, Chaldee, and I think there's some of a little other in there, but in any case, how come you can go from the first verse to the last verse and you will not find this statement? You cannot lose your salvation. It's not in there. But if you just pick it up and read a few verses, you can put them together and be absolutely positive it is in there. And so, why don't you know it? Why don't the Pentecostals know it? Because they listen to their preachers. They listen to men. Why don't Jehovah's Witnesses know it? Because they listen to a false god. Why don't the Hindus understand it? Because they won't listen to the true God. His Spirit works on them. His Spirit works on Russians. His Spirit is omnipresent. It's everywhere. But they don't believe Him. Now, you've heard this taught so many times. I'm just going to read it to you and you know what it means. Luke 22, 31, 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That's exactly what he wants to do to me. I'm not Peter. I'm just poor old Tom McElmurray, and I'm nothing to be compared with Peter. But I'm a preacher, and he would love to sift me as wheat. He would love to turn you toward me as though I had been a phony all these years. And it's not true. But that's the devil's job, and he makes the effort. Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee. God is praying for Peter, that thy faith fail not. Well, if God knew it wouldn't fail, why did he pray? Because he loved Peter. Because he loved Peter, that's why he prayed for him. He had compassion for him. Peter needed to be converted, and Peter had no idea. And I think Jesus wept because Mary and Martha didn't believe he was going to resurrect Lazarus. He says, and when thou art converted, he said, when that happens, strengthen thy brethren. They were all espoused, and they were being converted. And a part of that conversion was to unite with a New Testament church. And Jesus added them to the church whenever he chose them out of the ones that John baptized. And John was the only man on earth that God gave authority at that time. So, believe me, God has gone to an awful lot of trouble for you and I. Or you and me. All espoused to Christ need conversion. All espoused to Christ need conversion. All of the espoused are saved and sealed in Christ forever. The bride will consist of those who allowed Jesus to convert them after they were eternally saved. How long did they have to let him convert them? Till they died or until they're raptured. Revelation 19, 7, 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. You say, what about little babies? They don't have to be converted because they're not old enough to understand salvation or conversion. And they're held under the blood of Christ. And I guarantee you, God's going to be fair to them because he knows the life they would have lived had they not died. And yet, until they reach that age of accountability, they're his. Let us be glad and rejoice. Now, For the marriage of the Lamb is, well, I don't want to go back to that side, do I? Lord have mercy. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, that I have espoused you to one husband, not two, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I've already preached that on the previous page. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, the singleness that is in Christ. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How many times have you heard preachers say, won't you invite Jesus into your heart? Won't you invite Jesus into your heart? How do you invite him? Call upon his name. Who's in you right now? Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus. Do I have to tell you? He's Almighty God. He's the Comforter. He's the Counselor. He's the Everlasting Father. He's in me. You say, no, it's just Jesus. Well, who is Jesus? Doesn't he have all power in heaven and earth? Doesn't he indicate that we're supposed to go and teach all nations that? Doesn't he indicate when they receive him as Savior, we're supposed to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Who is that? That's Jesus. Those are the three offices we're baptized, and he performed all three of them. They're offices. But there's only one God. So, he says, and this is written to church. I know you got tired of me preaching this so much. I understand that. I know sometimes you thought I didn't have anything else to preach, but this is the most important thing that you'll ever learn in your life about your relationship with Christ. What's his good pleasure for you? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Don't tell me you can't do it. Well, I can't do it either. So what do I do? I'm being constantly converted to do that. I don't murmur and dispute nearly like I used to. It's a part of a process. Well, what if God doesn't get it completed and I drop dead? I'm leaving that in God's hands. Mainly because I have to. If I could sneak in that city, I'd probably be like those guys crawling over the gate. But I know I'd get caught. And there was one man who went over in there and he got caught. And I'm not about to try that. I wouldn't even know how. 1 Peter 1, 5 and 8. I have learned this. Casting all your care upon him. I've told people to do this for years and I didn't do it myself. For he careth for you. Lord, because he cares for you. He loves me a lot more than I love him. And he knows it. And I only love him because he first loved me. But I love him more than the night I was saved. There is progression in this. He says, because your adversary, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The first church was taking the Lord's Supper during the following event. What's the trouble been in this church the 40 years I've been here? Well, I could say me. But it's been all of us. I want you to notice what causes trouble among God's followers, church members. And there was a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. That's ridiculous. Jesus is the greatest. The rest of us are unprofitable servants. And conversion teaches you you're not the greatest if you'll let it. And the bride didn't think she was the greatest. Look, I hate to brag on my wife, and I brag on God all the time because my wife God is perfect. My wife wasn't. I'm not. None of you are. But I'll tell you this. My wife never thought she was the greatest. Never. 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 She thought she was the lowest. She thought I was the greatest. And she thought the rest of the church members were the greatest. But she never thought she was the greatest. I was the worst. And she was the greatest. And I know she's going to be in that city. I just hope I get in there to see her once in a while. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority over them, and over them are called benefactors. Well, I only have one benefactor. His name is Jesus Christ. And you know all his names. You've heard that in Isaiah so much, probably coming out of both ears. Well, God is my benefactor. And he was Imogene's benefactor. And he's your benefactor. I don't need somebody in the world to tell me about the truth. I need my benefactor, Almighty God, to tell me. He says, but ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. Let him be like a little child. Let him learn to be like a little child who has absolute confidence in the ability of his father. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. A pastor is called to serve. I wish I had understood that better when I came here. But you're also called to serve, and I'm no high monkey wump. We're all in the same boat. At least Peter got out and tried to walk. For whether is greater, he that setteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that setteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth and washeth your feet. Ye are they which have continued. Now here it is. You want to be in the city? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. They had walked with him for over three years. Not quite three and a half. And they had continued. And he was being tempted and they were being tempted. The whole church was being tempted. He said, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. He fulfilled three offices. And he is God. And the kingdom belongs to him. The Ancient of Days. He was the Ancient of Days. That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Man, if I just get inside the gate, I'll be dancing all my life and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what he told those disciples, and they will. You say, what will you be doing? I tell you exactly what it depends on. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Lord, I wish I had known that when I came up here and understood it. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know, not suspect, but know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. God knows. But men know too, if they can see God's love manifested in you. Well, it's just 8 minutes till, so I'll get part of that other one finished.